Well, we're going to continue on. We're in the book of James, so if you have your Bibles, that is towards the back of your Bible. James, if you don't have a Bible, you're welcome to pick up one. Should be one in a chair in front of you. And today we're reading, and we're talking, we're going to be looking at James chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. So I want to begin by reading that. And I'm going to be reading out of the NLT version. Verse 12, God blesses the people who patiently endure testing. Afterward, they will receive a crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, no one who wants to do wrong should ever say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else either. Temptation comes from the lure of your own evil desires. These evil desires lead to evil actions, and evil actions lead to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God above, who created all heavenly lights. Unlike them, he never changes or casts shifting shadows. In his goodness, he chose to make us his own children by giving us the true word, and we, out of all creation, became his choice possession. Did you know that you are God's choice possession? If there's no take out other than that, take home today, just remember that. You're God's chosen, his choice possession. You're his masterpiece. So, I've entitled, and if you have your bulletins, there's an outline in there for you. I do that for you A-type people that want to make sure you fill in the blanks and stuff. But I've entitled today's talk on is how to win over temptation. How to win over temptation. We're talking about faith in action, and I believe that's what James is all about. Faith in action. So this morning I want to look at what God has to say about man's oldest problem. His oldest problem is temptation. It goes all the way back to Adam, and we all eventually face it. Sometimes even when you know what's right to do, it's difficult to say no to temptation. It's difficult. Oscar Wilde once said, I can withstand anything except temptation. Most people take the easy way out when it comes to getting rid of temptation. They just give in to it. And the Bible talks about two different kinds of testing that we will experience here on earth. One is called trials, the other temptation. And both of them use the same word in the Greek, perasmos. I think it's at the top of your outline. And sometimes it's translated trials, sometimes temptations. It doesn't matter because sometimes a situation can be both a trial and a temptation. But to distinguish them, trials are situations designed by God in order to help us grow. Temptations are designed by Satan in order to cause us to sin. So we're looking at verses 12 through 18 in James chapter 1. And we just read this, but verse 12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. There's a prize. There's a reward for enduring temptation. First it said blessed or happy, or happiness comes from having your life under control so that there's no bad habit that is devastating you. And when you know how to say no to temptation, it produces happiness in your life. It also says that there's a crown of life. In the Greek, this literally means life itself. And James says, when you understand temptation, when you overcome it, when you learn to say no, then you begin to really live. It's a crown, which is life. It's abundant life itself. The question that we're going to address this morning is how? How do I handle temptation? How do I say no when I am tempted to say yes? Well, James, being the practical apostle that he is, he gives us five principles when faced with temptation. The first one is be realistic. face the fact that you will be tempted in life. Even Christians are tempted. All of us are tempted. Verse 13 says, it begins when tempted, not if tempted. It's just like trials. Temptations are inevitable in life. Have you ever met a pious person who says, I thank God that I've never been tempted in 42 years? Exactly, Kathy. That's what you get when you cross a crocodile and an abalone. You know what you get? That's a crocabalone. Everybody's tempted. You're tempted. I'm tempted. Every day we're tempted. You never get too old for it. You never overcome it by getting too spiritual. Everybody is tempted. It's a fact of life. Reality is all of us are tempted. There's a misconception that says once you're born again, you've got it all together. You've arrived, so you fake it and you wear a mask and pretend like how could anybody do something like that? We all are tempted. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. Those three words, common to man. That means we're all in the same boat. We all have the same temptations, the same problems. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Don't try to hide it. Some of you are caught in a compromising situation right now, but it is liberating to know that other people feel the same way you do. We all have the same struggles and problems. It's not a sin to be tempted. It only becomes a sin when you give in to the temptation. Hebrews 4:15 says, Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet he sinned not. Jesus was God, God in the flesh. He was perfect. He was tempted, but he never gave in. So it's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin when you give in to the temptation. Yeah, I meet a lot of Christians who are intimidated by a temptation. They think, how could I have such a thought? You know, the devil put it in your mind. It's not your fault. You're human. Temptation proves that you're human, not that you are evil. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to give in to temptation. The more committed that you and I are to living a godly life, the more you're going to be tempted. James says, be realistic in understanding that you'll be tempted. And then he says this, be responsible. Accept responsibility. Don't blame other people for your problems. Don't we love to blame? To do the blame shifting? You know, and a lot of times it's even people blame God. Verse 13 says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. God doesn't tempt us. You know, but we love to blame others. Will Rogers said, you could summarize American history into two great movements, the passing of the buffalo and the passing of the buck. Okay, some of you got that. Not a deer, okay. We are in a society of irresponsibility, a blame society. Blame the government, blame the environment, blame heredity, blame your parents, blame your spouse, blame the devil. Even blame God. Some people say it must be God's will or he wouldn't let it happen. That's called blaming God. Don't make your bad choices and then blame them on God. God does not tempt. He never contradicts his word. God is not going to tell you one thing and have the Bible say something different. If the Bible says something and you say something different, guess what? You're wrong. Be responsible. Don't blame God. Don't blame other people. It's a sign of immaturity. The fact is, I bring most of my problems on myself. And so do you. You know, we bring them on ourselves. If I'm ever going to break those bad habits I want to get rid of, first I have to be realistic. Realize I'm tempted. And then number two, I've got to be responsible. I quit passing the buck. Quit making excuses for my choices. And then in verse 14, James says this, be ready. When temptation comes, be ready. Be prepared for it. Peter says, be on your guard. Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. Be ready, be prepared. Verse 14 says, each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and enticed. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. That word deceived, we need to get ready. We need to be prepared for temptation. Temptation doesn't give you a two-minute warning in advance. You know, one of the reasons it's a temptation is because you don't even know when it's going to happen. You don't know when it's there. It catches you by surprise. You've got to be ready and on your guard. A lot of times we're the most vulnerable after a tremendous success, and we think we're doing okay. The Bible says, let him who thinks he standeth take heed lest he fall. It reminds me of the story of a man, Bobby Leach. You may not have heard of him. But Bobby Leach went over the Niagara Falls in a barrel, and he came out unharmed. A couple days later, he slipped on an orange peel and broke his leg. You know, it's the little things in life that kill us. James is saying, when it comes to temptation, be a Boy Scout. Be prepared. Be ready. And don't be deceived. So how do you prepare for temptation? How do you get ready for it? By understanding how it operates. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says this, in order that Satan might not outwit us, we are not unaware of his schemes. Paul is saying, know your enemy. God wants you to know how the devil operates, how he tempts. And he's been using the same old bag of tricks for 2,000 years and longer. And it's very easy to discover his process. Temptation is a process, never just a one-time act. James outlines the four steps here that the devil uses in order to tempt you so that we can be prepared. First, in verse 14, it says, Each one is tempted when by his own evil desires. The first step of temptation is desire. It's an inside job. Most desires are okay. You couldn't live without desires. A desire to eat, drink, sleep. A desire to accomplish. God gives us these desires, and these are all good desires. They're good gifts from God, but any desire out of control can become destructive. Satan loves to take routine desires and turn them into runaway desires. You become consumed or obsessed by it, whether it's food or work, having fun or money or success. These are all legitimate desires that God created us with, but when they are out of control, they become a problem. And there's an inward and an outward part. There's outward circumstances, but there's an inward drive or an inward desire. If it wasn't for the inward desire, you wouldn't be tempted. It starts on the inside. It's often the fulfillment of a legitimate desire in the wrong way at the wrong time. The process of temptation always starts with a desire gone haywire. And then the second step is deception. If you look in that verse, he says, he is dragged away and enticed. Interesting here, James uses a couple of terms from the sports world. The word dragged away is a hunter's term, which literally means snared in a trap. The word enticed is a fisherman's term, which means lured by bait. The secret of great fishing, I'm told, I'm not a great fisher, I don't have the patience for it, but the secret I've been told is in the bait. The right kind of bait for the right kind of fish. How many fish will you catch with just a bare hook? Not many. Not many. You've got to put bait on it. And the right kind of bait for the right kind of fish. What kind of bait does the devil use on you? Have you ever thought of that in your temptations? He knows what your hot button is. He knows your weakness. He knows you inside and out. He knows what desire buttons to push. He knows what you will fall for. And he hides the hook in his bait. And the bait appeals to your weakness. The crazy thing is that often, I'm talking about me too, often we're dumber than a carp. We see the hook and we don't care. It's a temptation and we just keep right on nibbling. When a person says to me, don't worry about me. I know what I'm doing. I'm an adult. I'm not going to get hurt. I know how far to go. I think that person's nibbling at the bait. They're nibbling at a temptation and they're being deceived. And they've gone to step two, from desire to deception. It always starts with a desire. Then Satan moves to deception. Temptation always looks better than it really is. A lot of times it's clear as a bell to others who know us and love us. But we become blinded and deceived, and the desire turns into deception, and deception turns into the third step that James talks about, and that's disobedience. If you go on in that verse, he says, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. What begins in your mind results in an action. It starts in your imagination. The battle starts with your thoughts. It moves from your thoughts into actions. First, the devil gets your attention. Then he gets you to have an attitude. Then he gets you to commit to the action. He knows if he can get your attention, he will eventually get you to commit the action. People say, what's the danger in a harmless fantasy? What starts in your mind eventually comes out in your life. It always begins in the imagination. What you flirt with, you will fall for. That's the whole purpose behind television advertising. They try to get you to imagine something. Driving that nice car. Sitting in that comfortable chair. Drinking that cool beverage. They know if they can get it into your imagination, they've got you. If that didn't work, nobody would advertise. We're silly to think that that's not true. You think you haven't done anything, but you have. The Bible says what starts in your mind eventually comes out in your lifestyle. Desire leads to deception. Deception leads to disobedience. And then James says, disobedience leads to death. Goes on, he says, sin, when full grown, gives birth to death. That's the tragic consequence of giving in to temptation. That's what losing the battle causes, devastating results. What is death? The exact opposite of living. If you overcome temptation, you get the crown of life, but the wages of sin is death. Spiritual separation from God. James says we are free to choose any way we want to live. You and I can choose any way we want to live. God gave us the freedom of choice. I can choose to live any way I want to, but I am not free to choose the consequences of the choices that I make. Satan is so slick in using this gradual process of temptation. If we saw death when we were first tempted, we'd walk away. In fact, we'd even run the opposite direction. But it's gradual and it's deceptive. You know, I've heard, of course I've never done this, being a farm boy, but I've heard that if you take a frog and you put it in a pot of boiling water, it'll hop right out. But if you take a frog and you put it in cool water and then you gradually turn up the heat, it'll eventually boil to death. It's gradual. James says, in order to overcome temptation, in order to break a bad habit, first I've got to be realistic. I need to admit that I have a problem in that area. Then I've got to be responsible. Don't blame other people. Don't blame God. Quit making excuses. Then I get ready by understanding what happens during temptation so I can learn how to avoid it. All of a sudden, it's interesting. All of a sudden, in verse 17, James switches gears. He starts talking about the goodness of God. It looks like he forgot what he was talking about when you're reading through there at first. In verse 17, he says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. James is talking about temptation. He warns us about the process that Satan uses. And then all of a sudden, he redirects our thoughts to the goodness of God. To that first song that we sang. He redirects our thoughts. At first he's talking about something negative. Then he's talking about something positive. what is he doing? He's refocusing our attention on something else. Why? Because that's the next step in overcoming temptation. Be realistic, be responsible, be ready, and then be refocused. If temptation begins with our inner thoughts, then changing what we think about is the key to overcoming it. This is the principle of replacement, the key to overcoming temptation. The key to overcoming temptation is not to fight it, but simply refocus your thoughts. Change your attention. Turn your attention on something else. Shift your thoughts. Change your mind. Refocus. Instead of looking at what you're being tempted by, look somewhere else. Refocus. Philippians 4:8 says this: think on these things, things that are good, positive, just, honest, and it goes on. Focus your mind on the goodness of God. Why? Because the more you fight the feeling, the more you focus on it, and the more it grabs you. You know, don't focus on what you don't want. Focus on what you do want. Turn your attention. Be refocused. Get your eyes off the negative. Get your eyes on the goodness of God. You know, this is my prayer every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning, I pray that we can come in this building and that we can be refocused. That we can be refocused on God and His love, His salvation. That we can just leave the junk in the parking lot. We'll shovel it up and throw it away for you. Just be refocused. Get your eyes off the negative. Get your eyes on the goodness of God. If you're here and you're a chronic worrier, it's because you're doubting God's goodness. Whatever gets your attention, gets you, whatever you resist, it persists. So stop fighting it. Just refocus. Turn your back on it. How do you get out of depression? Not by looking at what you are and telling yourself what you are. That never changes you. You focus on what you want. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a choice. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Get God's word in your mind and refocus. Quit fighting the feeling. You can't fight a feeling. But if you ignore it, guess what? You weaken it. So don't try to argue with the devil. He's a lot better at it than you are. He's had thousands of years of experience. When you refocus, it also may mean physically removing yourself from a situation. If you don't want to get stung, get away from the bees. Maybe you need to change the channel on the TV. Maybe you need to walk out of that movie, even if you've paid, I don't know how much they cost, $40. That's with popcorn, I guess. But maybe you need to walk out of that. Maybe you need to change jobs. The situation in that job is not good, and the conversations. Maybe you need to change jobs. Maybe you need to change a carpool. There's a guy named Joseph in the Old Testament. And he was in a tempting situation with his boss's wife. You know what he did? He left so fast that he even left his coat and ran. He ran the other way. He ran from his boss's wife. If you have to leave your coat, leave your coat. Just walk out. Maybe you need to hang out with a different crowd. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good character. You know what your weakness is, and so does God. Maybe you just need to be redirected and refocused. Here's the last step in overcoming temptation that James talks about. It's be reborn. James says he chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we may be a kind of first fruit of all that he created. Now, James isn't talking about physical birth. He's talking about being spiritually born again, a rebirth. Starting over with God. The single most important principle in breaking bad habits and getting control of your life is to let God have control of it. Getting Him in your life so that He can start changing your character. Being born again gives you a new capacity to resist temptation. You don't have enough power in your own willpower. And that's why you keep failing and falling. You need some supernatural power. You need Jesus Christ in your life. That's what it means to be reborn. It means you get a fresh start on life. You ask Christ. You put your faith and your trust in the work of the cross, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he's resurrected on the third day. You put your faith in that. Ask him. Ask Christ and ask him to make the changes and give you the power you need to do what you know is right. You know what it's right. You'll not be able to say no to temptation until you first learn to say yes to God. You need his power. We all need his power in our life. You need to not only be redirected and these other things, but you need to be reborn. That's the starting point. Then you'll have more than just your own power. What's your most vulnerable area this morning? What is your weak spot? You can be honest with God. He already knows what it is. Satan probably knows what it is. That's where he's going to attack you. Have you ever figured it out? Maybe you've never really thought about it. If you haven't, you need to, because once you've figured out where you're weak, you will know when and where you're most likely to fail, and you can avoid it. I'm going to say this lovingly. It's stupid. The S word. It's stupid to put yourself in situations that will automatically tempt your weakest areas. So where are you vulnerable? Be realistic about the problem. Where do I have a lack of self-control? Is it my temper? Is it my appetite? Maybe it's spending. Is it my words? I'm continually talking all the time and saying things that I later regret saying. Is it drinking? Is it drugs? Is it lustful thoughts? What is the area that Satan knows is my hot button, and he's already baiting me? He's already baiting me in that area. Figure it out and then admit it to God and say, God, you know the areas I've fallen. I've stumbled. I want a clean slate. I want to start over. Get rid of the past. Get forgiveness that's available. And then salvation is the first step in victory over temptation. Ask Christ to come into your life and to give you power over temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. What a great promise of God. God never puts more on you. He never allows more on you than he puts in you to bear it up. You say, I just couldn't help myself. Want to bet? You know, it was too strong of a temptation. I couldn't help myself. God says that's not true. You're just depending on yourself instead of depending on him. God says, I will make a way out if you trust in me. The fact is, when it comes to temptation, when it comes to that weak area of your life, there is hope, and you can change if you want to. If you choose to, if you'll let Christ change you from the inside out, there is a way out if you trust him. You can pray, Lord, as Jesus prayed, Lord, lead us not into temptation. If at the same time you're flirting with temptation, you can't pray that prayer. You've got to cooperate. Some of you are flirting with temptation in many different areas. Satan is baiting a trap for you. Custom bait for you. The few years ago, a friend of mine who struggled with substance abuse and was always in a battle concerning alcohol, he gave me a call one day. Hadn't seen him in church in a while. He gave me a call, and it was mid-afternoon. And he was in a bar. and I could tell he'd been there for a while. And I began to talk to him, and he told me that he had yielded to temptation, and he was not doing well. I asked him where he was, and I suggested, hey, where are you? Why don't you just let me come pick you up? Let's go out for lunch and talk. He refused. I'm not sure why he called me. He refused. And when he refused, I told him that I was God's tool giving him a way out. And he knew that scripture. I said, I'm offering you a way out. And he still refused. He did not want me to come. His life spiraled down to the point that he took his life a few years later. What is it that you want in your life so badly that you are willing to compromise in order to get it? Is it a promotion? Is it some kind of thrill? Confess it to God. The time to deal with temptation is right at the start, when it starts in the desire stage. Nip it in the bud. Martin Luther once said this: we cannot keep the birds from flying over us, but we can keep them from making a nest in our hair. That's easy for me. I don't have much hair. But what he's saying is, you cannot live in a temptation-free world. It's all around us. It's not a sin to be tempted. So don't be intimidated by temptation. It is a sin when you begin to dwell on that temptation and think about it so that it eventually begins to take form in your life and heart. It begins to make a nest in your hair. There's a couple resources that you need in order to fight temptation. Resources that are available. One is fellowship with other Christians. You will not make it if you do not have fellowship with other Christians. We were not meant to fight the battle by ourselves. So get involved with some Christian friends. Get involved in a Bible study, a small group. Find a place where you can share. Meet some friends. Then begin to share on a gut level. Share the problems you're struggling with. We are all in the same boat. Temptations are common to man. When you're able to talk about a problem, you are able to get control of it. Revealing your feelings is the beginning of healing. If you hold it in and you don't tell anybody, it just gets worse and becomes something that scares you to death. So get in fellowship with other Christians. Here's the second thing. Get into God's Word. This is the most important. Get into God's Word. The Bible. You know, the Bible is our secret weapon against temptation. Didn't you always want to have a secret weapon? You do. God's Word. Jesus said this: you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Do you want to be free from that bad habit? Fill your mind with this book. Refocus on it. Instead of thinking about what's getting you down, get your mind on what's good. Whatever is true and just and holy, and study it and memorize it and meditate on it. Fill your life with God's Word and get into a Bible study. If you know the truth, it will keep you from being deceived. If you want to know how Satan attacks, study the Bible. What is the payoff? Blessed is the man who endures temptation. It's that good feeling of self-confidence, of self-esteem, because you realize you're not being controlled by anything except the Lord. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown, which is life. You begin to enjoy abundant life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Fellowship with other Christians. More important, get into God's Word. You get into God's Word and let it get into you. And that will help you. That will help you when a temptation attacks. This morning you may be struggling in an area which has been bothering you for years. What is your weakness? What is your hot button? Where does Satan bait you? I invite you to say, you say, Lord, you know what it is. I've got a tendency to exaggerate, be double-minded, not stand up for what I know is right, be wishy-washy, always worry about what other people think, become sarcastic and say some hurtful things to my wife or husband. I'm insensitive to the needs of my spouse. I tend to be selfish. There's something in my life that is out of control. My time is out of control. Lord, my spending is out of control. My weight, my exercise. I just keep failing in the same area, and I feel bad about it. I encourage you, just confess it. Confess it to God. He knows your frame. He loves you. He loves you just the way you are. He's not going to condemn you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to wipe the slate clean. He wants you to start over today. That's why he brought you here. So say, God, I want to be realistic about this. It's a problem in my life. I drink too much, or whatever it is. Just admit it to God. Accept responsibility. Don't blame your parents or your spouse or your boss or anybody. Admit that there is a weakness. There would be no outside temptation if there were no inward drive that matches it. And be ready. Lord, help me to study your words so that I know how the devil tries to get at me. Help me to recognize those areas of weakness and avoid them. Help me to refocus on you, to fill my mind with the good things, the true things, the right things. Not to resist my feelings, but replace them with what you have to say. Most of all, if you're here this morning and you've never opened up your heart to the Lord, today's the day. Don't put it off another day. Today's the day to be reborn. Today's the day to confess to God that you need him. Today's the day to open up your heart, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today's the day to start a new and abundant life. You just go to God. You say, would you forgive all the sins I've ever committed? And help me start over today, and he will. That's why he died on the cross for you. Say, Jesus Christ, come in and be the manager and the controller of my life. He will. Lord, you promised to make a new way, make a way out of these temptations. Give me the strength. Some of you this morning need to break off a bad relationship. Some of you are flirting in the wrong areas. Say, Lord, help me to quit compromising. Help me to do what's right. And he will. He will help you. If you come to him with an open and sincere heart and say, God, you know all about me. I can't fool you. Help me get victory over this temptation. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Lord, I want to thank you today for your word. Lord, I pray for each person here and for everyone, including myself. Lord, help us to be honest with you, with the temptations of our life. You know them. Help us to be honest with you. Lord, help us to rely on your power. Help us to refocus our minds off the temptation and onto you and your gloriousness and your love and your salvation. Lord, this morning, we want to live the abundant life that you have promised. And we know that the only way that happens is in your power. So God, shower on us your power this morning. Lord, shower it on us. We ask, we confess, we ask. Lord, if there's any here who this morning have, for the first time in their life, ask you to come in their life, have been born again, Lord, I pray that you would help them feel your presence. I pray that they would let me know so that we could follow up and I can encourage them. God, thank you. We love you. We know that we win because we're on your side. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.